This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Welcome to Nerds from the Underground. I'm your host, Fred, and I'm here with
hello.
Michael. It's Michael's first appearance here on Nerds from the Underground.
We've tried a few now.
Yeah.
I feel blessed that it's still recording right
yes,
now.
Yes, it is.
Good. I'm watching the blue lines go. No issues.
Sweet, sweet. So this episode, we're going to cover Royal City, Volume 1, and we're going to cover Bone Parish, Volume 1. Let's get into it. I'll start off with the solicit. Royal City charts the lives, loves, and losses of troubled family and vanishing town across three decades. Patrick Pike, a fading literary star who reluctantly returns to once thriving factory town where he grew up, is so quickly drawn back into dramas of his two adult siblings, his overbearing mother, and his browbeaten father, all of whom are still haunted by different versions of his youngest brother, Tommy, who drowned decades ago. Written and illustrated by Jeff Lemire, lettered by Steve Wands. It doesn't say who colored it,
I'm assuming it's Jeff Lemire. Yeah.
Yes, and published by Image Comics, we got Royal City. How do you feel about this book there, Michael?
I love this book when it came out. I really like just how it is very much a family drama, but also there's like this underlying supernatural stuff that's never fully fleshed with the radio towers, all the weird stuff going on through the radio towers and how the father likes to build his own radios and the connection there and with the loss of Tommy and how the tower was kind of what seemed to draw Tommy to what ended up killing him when he was led out of the forest after it. But I liked it a lot. I love the mystery of it. What do you think? Do you think it was to do with the medication why he kind of wandered off and drowned Tommy? Or do you think it had to do with the radio tower kind of pulling him in?
I think your point with the radio tower might be it, because his dad had the visions of the radio tower and he had the connection because his dad even... What do you have, like hundreds of radios in that shed?
Yeah, hundreds. Yeah, that he built in the shed. Yeah, that was like his hobby.
Yes, because even like, his other brother, Richie, was having issues. He has like drinking problems and things like that. And he would,
I think he tried to hawk
him, right?
Yeah, I think he did too. I think Richie might be my favorite character in the book. he's such a fuck up. But he has so many redeemable qualities too. Like, he's like the perfect character, even though he fucks up so many times and you don't want to trust him and he screws over literally every family member of the Pikes. But just he's very an empathetic character as well. Like, I was glad that he ended up making it through the whole book and kind of grew as a character. At the end, there's some hope. Especially in Volume 1, there's not much hope. Where he was kind of an asshole as a kid. He always bullied Tommy. That's why the girlfriend ended up going to Tommy and stuff like that. But near the end, the more we get, even farther to Volume 1 is more of just him just getting given chance after chance and then just screwing it up and then owing everyone in town money. I just am getting beat up over and over again. And it's weird because I would see, he's the, forward, I would say, character you would think of, black sheep, the bad character. But even our main, I would say, quote-unquote, protagonist, who at least he's our character, he's the character surrogate. I mean, the audience surrogate for the story is definitely Patrick, who seems to be such a Lemire archetype. Like, it seems like it is Jeff Lemire.
It totally does feel like Jeff, because like he talks about like failed books and scripts and trying to hurry back, and he's from a small town in Canada.
Yeah, he reminds me of, he's kind of got characteristics that he's kind of an asshole. Which I feel like in the beginning that's not so obvious, but when it gets closer to the end, especially with Tommy's secret daughter and stuff,
Right.
where he's very reluctant to help her do anything with it. And
That's true.
even when he's back with his family, he's almost the, I would say to his living family, he's very reluctant to be loving or close to any of them, but he's the like most welcoming of the ghost of Tommy, his version of Tommy. Like, I feel like they almost have the closest relationship. He has the closest relationship with the ghost of Tommy than any of the family members, but he's the most distant from his alive family members. At least
Well,
in the.
do you feel like he's the closest with him because he had wasn't the book that he had from him like Tommy's diary or
He
basically
the book he made, the one that he became famous off, was the book Tommy wrote, yeah. And I think that might be the
Right.
closest connection. He stole that from his dead brother, yeah.
Right. That's some Bill Gates shit right there.
It's some Bill Gates shit, yeah, exactly. And even worse is that was his only. He's not really. Well, I mean, maybe that's why it's not Lemire, is that he's not really creative, because when he tries to write his own book, he can't do it. That's like.
Right.
He just keeps getting more and more deadlines pushed back, and he can't really write it.
Right. And the thing that I really connect to it is not only the this book, like you mentioned the character Patrick, he's having like issues, like dysfunctional parts with his relationship with his wife, who happens to be like a movie star. Was she a movie star
She's
or a
a
sitcom?
movie star. She's filming a
Yeah.
movie while the book's taking place.
So he's having issues with like the writing aspect of coming up with, meeting deadlines and things like that, but he's also suffering from like low self-esteem because he's
His marriage is kind of falling
feeling,
apart.
yeah,
Yeah.
he's they're feeling distant from each other. And a lot of this book I can kind of connect with. Maybe it's because Jeff Lemire and I are around the same age. He might be like a year or two older than me. But it has like that 90s grunge vibe, which is like that's my wheelhouse. That's what I grew up with. Like he even has like soundtracks that match this. If you go on Spotify, you can listen to it. And I think in some of the floppies, he mentions in the back that playlist and things to read to with it. And it has a lot of like a lot of that like grunge inspired or even some
The
punk
music is
music.
great, and the older people that babysit me and hang out with as a kid, Sonic Youth, they got me to Sonic Youth as a kid, and I know that's one of the big bands that's involved with Royal City, and I love Sonic Youth. That reminds me of when I was younger, like, 8, 9 years old. That was the kind of stuff I would be around,
Oh,
and
you're
it gives
making
me
me
kind of
feel
nostalgia
old.
too.
You're making me feel like an old man right now. But
I'm already
yeah.
starting to feel old, Fred. I get you. In 10 years, I'm gonna feel the same
No.
way as you. I already feel it now.
Yeah, but you just gotta love what you do right now and just experience everything. Don't hold anything back. That's one thing I'll let you know about getting old. But more about the book, like the art is Jeff Lemire. So like the art, it kind of like the sweet tooth kind of vibe, just like Jeff did with that book. And I'm big into like anything Lemire. Did you like
I
the art
love
a lot?
him. What'd you say?
Do you like the art a lot?
I love the art. Yeah, I love Lemire's art. I love Sweet Tooth. I love actually all the books he's drawn and written himself. I'm a big fan of Trillium 2, if you've ever read that. And
Yes.
then this year he had Frogcatcher, which was incredible. But I always like his art. I feel like it's probably acquired taste. Like, I feel like real huge comic lovers like me and you will probably love the art for what it is, but I feel like if I handed it maybe to someone that like isn't really into comics, or they might be like, this is kind of weird, because it is such a unique art style. But
Right.
yeah, I like the art. I love everything he draws. I'm a big fan of his art.
Yeah, the reason why I like his art is because he's telling the story and then he can like, his words match like the characters. He's not giving it to someone else. So you kind of, I think that's why I feel a lot of connection with like his creator owned books, especially if he drew them, because then you feel like everything that he envisioned is in that graphic novel.
I agree. All of it, everything that's creator owned, he has in indie books are some of my favorite books. I mean, in recently, the stuff, I mean, the last 2 months that he's done for DC have been excellent. But the original stuff he did for DC when he was first like coming up. what's that book called? I can't even think of it right now. He wrote it with like 10 other writers, which is amazing he was on it because it's obviously he had no say in it. And then the Marvel stuff he did, I'm sure like the X-Men stuff, you could tell that his vision and his voice was really kind of muffled and he couldn't really get it out.
Yeah, that's true.
Where all the stuff he does that's created around is very poetic, emotional, and then his horror that's created around is so expansive, you know? And that's why I really like his writing, is that it'll expand. Like, you'll think it's one thing, and then it'll turn on its head. Even Sweet Tooth, like a lot of his stories. And even Royal City, where I feel like it starts out as this really intense, it is a family drama, it is about these characters, but it has all these other, you know, small things and the outlying stuff. The weird, small, supernatural stuff. The fact that ghosts are in it, and like the message is really trying to get out there about the Pike family, and like the father, like I don't know if it's in volume one as much, but did you think that the twist about the father being, you know, a closeted homosexual, did you know that from the beginning, or did you see that coming, or
I didn't really catch on to it in the beginning. I
I.
just, you know, it was more so like the mom cheating and things like that. And, you know, maybe that is a question of his masculinity. I don't know. But
I didn't know.
yeah.
I couldn't catch it either. I feel like did I don't I think you know the wife's cheating first, right?
Right.
Yeah, because you know the wife is cheating first with the neighbor that she keeps on running into at the grocery store. And then I'm trying to remember, does he actually is he cheating too, or is he just have that one lover that's revealed near the end of the series?
I'm not quite sure because it's like you mentioned, it's been a while for me to read it, so I just relived volume one, but I need to go back through that.
I need to reread it all too. The sister, I feel like, I can't even think of her name right now, might be the most traumatized, I think, from everything. Like her, she.
I think her name's Tara.
Tara, yeah. Because she's kind of this. Her marriage is loveless. She's with the guy's son in the company she works for. And that
Right.
guy is, just sucks. And then she. That's why it's almost like she envisions Tommy as a child to take care of. I feel like that's her escape from the doldrum of the reality she's in.
That's true. And then like to add to like her issues with the guy that she's married to, like you mentioned, his dad owns the company, but then didn't he try to form a union so that she didn't buy the company to build a golf course? Isn't that what
Yeah,
was supposed
exactly.
to happen?
Yeah,
So
he's at like
so there's a lot of issues there.
they're at complete odds with each other over there. Yeah.
So I mean, and that's what I like about this book is it's like a lot of like dysfunctional family. You know, Patrick's trying to find himself, get back in the groove. But as you mentioned, Tommy has a daughter, and what happens is Patrick thinks that, you know, she's stalking him because she's a fan of his work, because that's, you know, as you mentioned, he's kind of an asshole in the beginning.
Yeah.
So, you know, for that to come out of it and everything, I was like, whoa, I didn't see that coming when I originally read this. But I'm a huge fan of the book. The other thing that I really like is that you mentioned, was it Richie? He kind of envisions Tommy as an older, like his age, like, you know, maybe mid-20s or something, and they kind of party with each other, which was a lot different than the rest of the
Yeah.
family that envisioned him as a younger kid.
Definitely.
But
And it's yeah, and just the fact of just the fact he and then of course, is it in the volume? I mean, the fact that the father having the heart attack and bringing everyone together, I feel like the one is that he was probably the least disconnected from Richie, and then with Patrick coming back, he's easier to connect with him there. And is this crazy? Tara has been basically paying for Richie for everything. A huge part of it is that, and then one of the big things on it is when he needs that money and he needs to pay back, and she gives it to him, and then he doesn't even use it to pay back the loans, which is just a
Right.
I'm sure I wish I remember. Do you remember the daughter's name, Tommy's daughter?
Let me see if I find it. You can keep talking. I'll see if I can find it.
I could have. I should have been. Oh yeah, I could have brought it too. I have all of the Royal City too right here. I should have brought it in.
I don't think it. They said her.
Man. It's one of Lemire's quietest works, which I like too. Like when I was reading it, I could almost picture it being like an indie movie, like a perfect like mumblecore indie movie. Just with all of his family brought together and just kind of the message of how much a whole one person's like absence can leave in the family and how different he meant to all of them in different ways.
True. That's very true. And then to think about when Patrick mentioned or met his niece, which she tells him at the very last panel, spoiler alert, his dad kind of wakes up too from his coma, which is very interesting too, that maybe it kind of adds to that mystic stuff,
Yeah,
like Tommy.
the weird mystic stuff surrounding Tommy and surrounding the radio tower. And it is wondering if I'm trying to the dad also he started when he started building the radio towers, the radios, I think that was around the time Tommy passed away too. Where it's like I think he was maybe even building them because like maybe as you Tommy's essence is like in the radio tower and that's why they're all receiving him almost like a frequency, and then he was building those almost maybe to kind of control like obtain that frequency and spread it out, but that's just theory. It's theory.
No, I do think you're right, because if you remember, like, the art, the dad and Tommy would float through the freaking frequencies, and then he was like, I gotta go. And that's when his dad woke up, remember? So yeah, I
Yeah,
think you're spot
exactly.
on with that stuff. Yeah,
It
definitely spot on with that.
yeah, and like just the way he was building him was like, I think, a way for almost like strengthening the frequency of Tommy and keeping him still around. Which is like one of my favorite, like I said, I love about Lemire is the different facets to each of his works. Like family drama, but then his weird, weird supernatural element with radio frequencies, which is, it's nice. That's the one thing I like about the book is it has so much to it, and there's so many layers to each character. Like
Right, that
Patrick's are,
it's
yeah, it is
deep.
deep. Like Patrick,
It's
it's probably one of his most emotional works, and I feel like one of his most personal. I could see even more for the era you're from because so much of it is like that 90s music and growing up in that era.
yeah. Especially like we all would dress like that, look like Tommy, like a little Kurt Cobain haircut and things like that. That's how we all did it, with our corduroys.
Yeah, he definitely has that little Kurt Cobain vibe, yeah.
It's definitely a book that if you're a fan of Jeff Lemire and you like Essex County, this one's right up there with it, because it's very personal. I feel like it's very personal, like that book, that graphic novel is, Royal City is as well for him. So, you can tell that he put his heart and soul in this book, and that's what I appreciate.
Definitely, he has like his whole like being in it, which is one of the things I love about it the most. And I love Essex County, and definitely if you love Essex County, you'll like this. And if you're listening and you read some of his newer books like Frogcatcher, the trade that just came out, and you like that, you'll love this also. That's
Hell yeah.
same kind of stuff. Emotional, raw. Really makes you give you the
You can't go
feels.
wrong with Jeff
No,
Lemire.
man, I love everything he's done. Even some of my friend who only reads some comics, he used to only read Saga. He was a big comic fan when he was younger, and then he was only reading Saga. I got him into Lemire recently, which I got him to read Royal City, but I got him in with Gideon Falls, so it was a little easier to like be like, hey, check out this writer. And now I've actually gotten back into comics. Now he keeps hitting me up and being like, what do I read now? What do I read now? And I pretty much just be like, Lemire,
Nice,
Lemire,
nice.
Lemire. Pretty much read anything from Lemire except his X-Men run, which is not his fault.
Yeah, that's my thing. Like, you got to pick your writer, find out like who, like you can kind of like get into, like who feels like somebody you could hang out with, or like if things like that. And once you find your writer, you just roll with them, because then you appreciate their work. Are you ready to move on to the next
Yeah,
book?
let's go for it. And that was Royal City.
Yeah, that was Royal City. You can pick it up, trade the first trade. I think it's only, what is it, three trades long. I'm looking
It's
back
three
at my
trades
shelf.
long, and I think I don't know. I know. I feel like it'll have. I'm pretty sure it's at coming out. I just saw Jeff announce it that there's going to be the deluxe edition, which is the whole series, which is cool. It looks like a little record cover. So that should probably be out soon, and it probably won't cost too much either.
Is it a hardcover too?
Yeah, yeah. He was talking about it on Twitter the other day that it's coming out soon. It's like a red cover, and it has the Royal City on the top. It looks almost like a record cover. So I don't know if it might not be out yet, but it should be out soon.
I'm gonna put it on my Christmas list.
Yeah, I like that too, dude. I buy the trades or I buy the single issues, and then a hardcover comes out, and I gotta get it. Except now because of things happening in my life, I have to be less spending money on all that stuff. But it's good things at least.
We'll talk about how to get those things after the podcast.
Yeah. Sorry.
But No. I'm just saying, like, I got like sites that you can go to, but I'm sure you heard of them. But let's get into Bone Parish Volume 1. The solicit reads, as a new drug is sweeping through the streets of New Orleans, one made from the ashes of the dead, wars are being fought over who will control the supply, and the demand only rises. While the various criminal factions collide, users begin to experience the terrifying visions of dead coming back to life through them. Written by Cullen Bunn. Illustrated by Jonas Scharf, colored by Alex Gumeras, letter by Ed Dukeshire, published by Boom. This is Bone Parish.
This book is great, and I'm glad I got this in single issue and read it for the whole year it came out. And the best way I could describe it to people is supernatural Breaking Bad, which is what it reminded me of the most. Like, the drug they're all hooked on, which is basically you get to experience a dead person's life and you snort it almost like coke or meth, but when you do, you basically are living this other person's life. And like, let's say you snort some warriors or, you know, some ancient Japanese warriors or even like a soldier's essence, then you have almost their abilities, which is a cool facet in the series, is that when they're in, you know, when the family is in some rough scenarios where they're in gunfights, they can snort it, and then they basically have the abilities of, let's say, a soldier that was well-gifted in wars, like a gifted combat warrior. Green Beret, something like that.
Right.
I would say the politics is another thing in this, with basically, like, the Italian mob is coming in, and they're trying to get on the territory, and then also the Mexican cartel is coming in, whereas really it's just this family who lost their figurehead who's trying to navigate it in control the basically traffic of this drug and control their power in New Orleans, which, you know, they end up losing a lot during it. And it really, especially for the mother character, reminded me almost of Walter White of Breaking Bad, where she starts out one way and then she has to just become more powerful near the end because of what she's beginning to lose.
That's a good point. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of this book, especially because it's, you know, written by Cullen Bunn. But what I really like about this book is it feels like a TV show, like something you would find on FX or maybe HBO would do, which I hope that somebody will pick this up because I need to see this. You know, I've been to New Orleans, and New Orleans is a really freaking awesome town. And the art in this book captures the vibe of the city and things like that, you know. Like, in the colors and things like that. Like, this book is the total package. The Winners family, to see what they go through throughout this whole title run is amazing to, like, experience. It's so, like, adrenaline rush. Like, if I was to, like, rate each issue throughout it, almost every issue is, like, a 10, 10 plus. And I don't give those away easily, but this maybe like Skyward, but like this book is right up there with, you know, if not better. I'm a huge fan of this book, everything about it, like to see like how people are taken out by like the cartels and stuff, and the one brother being like killed by the crocodile was
that's what I'm saying. Sweet. The loss, like, when that first happened with the crocodile, it's like I'm a huge fan also. I love this book. Like I said, I bought it single issue each time, and each week, each month it came out, I was really excited. But when that stuff started happening, like when the brother got eaten by the crocodiles, I was like, wow, this is some serious shit's going to happen to the Winters family in this. They're not everyone's getting out of here alive. And Bray, too, is such a, you know, the kind of stuff he goes through, because he's literally kind of the backbone of the family and, you know, the front for the mother and the most like the father.
Yep.
And he goes through so much shit too, especially, you know, And when he starts, having the relationship with the cartel head and stuff like that, it is very much like a TV show. Like I said to you, it reminds me of Breaking Bad, but involved with this supernatural element. But still, and I love Colin Bunn also, and he's so good at doing horror and supernatural stuff. But here he hits it out of the park with just the thriller aspect, just the family thriller, and just like the TV show amount. It just reminds me of just a really tense and cerebral drug drama. Like, even if it had nothing to do with the supernatural element involving, these past lives you can see by doing the drug, it'd be great. Like, it'd be one of the best books I've ever read just about the drug trade and stuff like that, and the politics of different families vying for power.
Hell yeah, that's it. That's exactly how I feel. Like, okay, let's take this because if you ever listen to like Indie Alley, where I kind of mess around. So, if you were to take Ash from anyone, who would it be?
Oh, that's a good question. If I were to take Ash from anyone, now I gotta think.
Well, while
You
you're
have
thinking
yours?
of
Let me hear
yours, I'll
yours,
tell
yeah.
you what I would have. Hell yeah. I would take probably like Morrison from The Doors. I would probably take his ashes.
The Morrison from The Doors is a great pick, and I was raised in the South Bay, and my family, I'm a huge Deadhead, so I think I'll do Garcia's. I would love to cut out Garcia's like last decade when he was a heroin addict, but if I could get the ash of Jerry when he was just like traveling, having fun, having a good time, not the last 10 years, I think that would be a blast. Your Morrison completely inspired me. I would definitely do Garcia.
Hell yeah, that's, I mean, just to experience life through those guys on the top of their,
Yeah.
the top of their life, like just all that stuff, the crazy. I mean, that's something I would want to experience. Or I would probably go with like some George Washington shit or
That's what I was thinking of too, is like some of the
something.
nation's founders when you said it, like John Adams or George Washington.
I mean, I mean, there's so many choices. I mean, you can't
You
go
can't.
wrong.
I thought Charlie Ta Chaplin too. I'm a huge Chaplin fan. I'm like Charlie Chaplin back in the day, but
That's
he
interesting.
also, the later years, see, the later years are
That's.
not good. Like when you get the ash, I think you kind of get everything. You can't really pick and choose the era.
There you're gonna have some down parts of that
Yeah.
when you take it, when you consume
There's gonna be ups and
it.
downs, yeah.
It's gonna be a roller coaster, that's
It's like
for sure.
Elvis popped in my mind immediately, and then like knowing actually more about Elvis, I've read a lot about Elvis, I'm like, I don't wanna do that.
And you're like, and then you're like, I don't want to relive that toilet scene where he goes
No,
out.
I mean, in a lot of Elvis's life, the stuff that wasn't in the spotlight was not great. This like the kind of life he lived and how he treated people, I'm like, I don't know about that.
Before the internet, man. Before the
Before the yeah, I
internet.
know if Elvis were
No
around
one
now, oh my God, he would be there'd be so much stuff on Elvis.
canceled.
Elvis would be Me Too'd very quickly.
You sure would. That's for sure. But yeah, this is a great book, and just like the concept of the drug, like we were just talking about, is like blew me out of the water with that idea. And I'm like, wow, how come no one's ever thought of that? And Colin Bunn's probably got like 20 other books that he's thought of, like other things that we need to experience me as well. But yeah, this is a great book. A lot of good things happening, a lot of crazy things, a lot of intensity and energy.
It
Like,
builds, like it
it's
builds. Like it starts, you have the idea, the concept of the ash, what it does when you take it, the fact that if you take it, you basically experience someone's life, and then where the family's at, they've already lost someone, and then just like as soon as like the Mexican cartel, the Italians, and the Italians originally friendly with them, and then it just builds and builds and builds, and just gets like you were saying, it just the intensity builds with each issue. And also one thing I want to say about it is that Scharf, Jonas Scharf and Alex Kumera's art just gets better and better with each issue. Like from where it starts, it's great, but then by the last like 6 issues, it's fantastic art. Like, and it's fitting the vibe in New Orleans, fitting the like tense criminal saga that's going on in it. And I was blown away by it. I hope they do more with Colin Bunn or just do more in general with Boom, because I'd really like to see what they do in the future. And then I was gonna one other thing about the characters is I love how they bring in more characters. I think his name's Wayne, the Hell's Angel that works for them. I love that character. I think that might be my favorite character in the book.
Yeah, when I first saw that, I was like, oh, are they gonna throw some Sons of Anarchy stuff in here too?
They did, yeah. They threw the and he comes in kind of in the middle, and it's like the detective character too. She comes in later in the series, and they get such Bun's able to give them such intricate backstories and character arcs, and they don't come in at least till halfway in. At least I know the detective is halfway in exactly. She comes in, I think, issue six. Whereas I think Wayne might
Yes.
come in like four, maybe four or five. But I mean, they're all just so well fleshed out characters, and they're not even there in the beginning. Yeah, it's got Sons of Anarchy, it's got Breaking Bad. I mean, it's got Soprano-esque part in it, where that's another character. I can't think of his name right now, but the Italian guy, there's an Italian guy that comes in, and he's trying to like basically seduce the Mrs. Winters into basically sharing the drug ash with them. And he's almost likable in the beginning, and he just becomes less and less likable as it goes on, and just complete scumbum by the end, where I'm glad about what happens to his fate, which is so brutal when it does occur.
Yes, it is, but it's well worth it. Yeah, man, that's one of the best books I've read probably of last year. Because it was still going last year. I would probably put it in my top five
It's going
of
to be in my top books for this year, for
2019.
sure.
Yeah, it's an amazing book, and it's a great team. And like I mentioned, Skyward, that book was had a great creative team, and this one did too. And when you put you have amazing team, you put out great content, and this is for sure one of the best
Yeah,
books out there.
fires on all cylinders, and if you have not read it, I definitely recommend picking it up in trade.
Yeah, and if you haven't read it, and you start reading it, let us know.
Yeah, let
Tweet
us know what you think about
to
it.
us.
I now have to read Skyward. I haven't read Skyward. You're recommending books on here for me.
Wait, what? You never read
I have
Skyward?
not read Skyward, no.
Oh, dude, you are missing out.
I need to, I
You
know.
are.
I need to read it. I need to really. Also, was it you guys that were also talking about another book I haven't read? The one about the school in Japan? Was that this podcast?
That might have been Johnny and Chris.
Yeah, might have been Johnny and Chris.
I don't think that was with me, because I don't remember
Well,
his school in
I
Japan.
gotta read Skyward now. You've definitely recommended that. I mean, you guys should also read Skyward. I trust Fred's opinion here, and I'm sure it stands up with these books as well.
Hell yeah, Skyward is great. It has, not to get off topic, but it has a strong female lead that's amazing, named Willow. So it's well worth it. It's great art, great story. Yeah, man, and that's an amazing book. But yeah, this book too is amazing. And you can follow our page at Nerds from the Underground. You can follow me at Comics Fred. Michael, where can they follow you?
You can follow me at PoetAir33.
And you can find our podcast at nerdylegion.com. And like we say at every end of every show, we don't hate if you trade weight. We're out.